Okay, so we're on. Is that better? Is that any better?
Yeah, talking.
Is that better? Well, see, it depends. See, if my peg was down here, then I can hear it. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Volume 8, November 21st, 1907. Continuing in my usual state. Again, her usual state was suffering. I was uniting myself with our Lord, making his thoughts, his heartbeats, all his breath, all his movements, one with mine, and then adding the intention of going to all souls. There, take that. It's not working. Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No? Is that working at all? This is always fun. Hello? Can you hear me? Testing. That sounds, can't even hear it. Testing. See, you have to understand, this is not where it's going to be. I have my head down, so I know what's going on. Just the sound has to go up. Is that any better? Okay, great. So you're saying I got to talk like this. So that means it's a directional mic. It's not another type of mic. So it's got to be directional. Okay, directional mic. Okay. See, it's going to get there. I think I can just do this. It'll be okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, is that better? No. Oh, see how easy that was. So Colleen was correct. Okay. Continuing to my usual state, I was uniting myself with our Lord, making his thoughts, his thought, his heartbeat, his breath, and all the movements one with mine, and then adding the intention of going to all creatures. Okay, so that's what we do. We pray for the glory of God and for the sanctification of souls. This is what we want to do. I want what Jesus wants, and what we want is everybody to be in heaven. And at this point, nobody's going to be there. At this point, because of sin in the world, there is no way that that can happen. And again, our job is to make sure that souls get in. I mean, that's our job. So this is what she's doing. We make, again, with the Lord, his heartbeat is our heartbeat. His breath is our breath. His movement is one with mine. So whatever you're doing, I mean, blinking, swallowing, you want it to be one with Jesus. Adding the attention of going to all souls for all their blinking, for all their swallowing, to give to everybody the life of God. Do you see, the divine will is not anything to do with me. I'm nothing. I am nothing. But I can breathe, and I can have my heart beat, and I can walk, and I can dance, and I can sing. Well, I can sing. And what we're doing is we want that to be with us so that everyone will have God's life. Now, that's why Louisa is so great. It says, I, Louisa, was united to Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Okay, so again, we can be in the Garden of Olives. We can be in the Garden of Gethsemane. We can be in the Garden of Eden. See, there's no time or space. You can actually be at Bethlehem. You can actually be at Cana. That's why I say, when you're watching Mel Gibson's movie, you can be there. Mel gave us a great blessing. And this is why he's hated and despised. That's why the devil went after him. That's why his whole life fell apart. It's because what he did was he gave people the opportunity to be with Jesus at the most solemn time of his life, the last 24 hours of his life. And you can be there. I mean, it's you will be astonished when you close your eyes and when you enter into paradise. When you close your eyes and enter in Gethsemane, when you close your eyes and enter on the Sea of Galilee, you actually are there. And what the Lord, because there's no time or space. See, when Adam sinned, he was out of eternity and into time and space. He was banished from eternity. See, the Garden of Eden, everything is still there. The animals are still alive there. We have fallen below the animals. How can that be? Well, the animals are still living after 6,000 years. And they're young, and they're beautiful. We are getting old and sort of, you know, wrinkled and gray-haired. But see, so what it is, I was united to Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Now, we can go there. When you pray, don't limit yourself to what God wants. He's the one that wants you to be there. He's the one that's Lord of heaven and earth. So Louis says, so I so gave to all and to each one, and also to purging souls, the drops of his precious blood. Okay, same thing with us. We are with Louisa. Remember Louisa was there, and Jesus says, look behind you. There are all the other children living in the divine will behind you, Louisa. You brought everybody here. Now, it's not because we are doing anything. It's because what God gave to Louisa. And that's why when she becomes the mother of the second generation of the children, if we enter into that gift, we are also with Jesus and Mary 2,000 years ago, because there's no time, there's no space. So, again, she's purging souls, the drops of blood, his prayers, his pains, and all the good that Jesus did so that all the breaths, all the movements, all the heartbeats of all souls might be repaired, purified, and divinized. And as I gave this font of all goods, which are his pains, as remedies for everyone, and while I was doing this, blessed Jesus told me in my interior, daughter Louisa, my daughter Louisa, with these intentions of yours, you, Louisa, wound me continuously, wounded with love. Why? He says, since you, Louisa, do them often, one arrow does not wait for another. And I, again, this is the Cupid's arrow, if you want to say. And I, Jesus, have been always wounded again and again and again with love. He's stopped by love. He's wounded by love. And again, that's what God, so when we link ourselves to Louisa, this also, Jesus sees that with us as well because of Louisa, you know. Volume 8, December 30th, 1908. My daughter Louisa, my works are perfect. And I, Jesus, want to come as a little infant in order to divinize all the sacrifices and all the little actions of infancy. So until children begin to commit sins, everything remains absorbed in my childhood and divinized by me. This is why children are so beautiful. This is why the devil hates preborn babies. He hates them because they're all beautiful. And as Louisa said in volume 36, the very first day, she says, Louisa, Jesus, let all babies who come to the light be baptized as Catholics. Jesus says, it is accomplished. Everybody that's born is going to be baptized a Catholic. Our job now is, Lord, everyone that's conceived, baptize them as Catholics. We want everybody, every soul. And what Jesus tells us, this is what he's asking of us today, is to consecrate ourselves before we were conceived. How? In your nothingness. Consecrate yourself to God in your nothingness before you were conceived. Now, why? Once we're conceived, we have all the inclinations, all the tendencies, all the blessings, all the curses of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-great-grandparents. So when we're born, we're told what we can do, what we can't do by our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our neighbors, in our schools. We are limited. And what God wants is, he says, go back to where we were before you were conceived and consecrate yourself to me so I can make you what I've planned. No limitations of what the world, the flesh, and the devil has said about you and for you. So how great is this that our God wants us to go to him? This is in volume 2. I think it's volume 2 or maybe volume 6. But he wants us to be free of everything in our nothingness so that he can make us who we are. Now, for example, this is a terrible analogy, but God had planned for you to be the greatest pianist in the world. Okay? And you're born. And you want to play the piano. And all of a sudden, your parents say, we can't afford a piano. It's gone. You're never going to be what God called you to be. Now, in a greater way, God has called us to be children of God, reflections of our triune God, image and likeness of God. And because of the fallen nature, because of our parents. I mean, we know that MS is every other generation for a family. It's in the family. It's in the blood. It's in the genes. It's every other generation. For alcoholism, for, all sorts of things, it's in the blood. And, so we are trapped by what our parents, our grandparents, the previous people in our lives have given to us. That's why at baptism, the priest exorcises the baby. And I always say that the baby's not possessed. Sometimes you might think of it like 3 in the morning, but it's to free the child of its grasp of the DNA, if you want to say, spiritual, of the parents and grandparents, so that they're free to become children of God. Now God is asking us to let him do something to us that he could not do before, because it wasn't part of the what he gave to the saints, but because he has given it to Louisa, now he's given it to us. So, as it says right here, divinize all the actions. Okay, and so until the child commits sins, everything remains absorbed to my childhood, my divinized by me. When sin then begins, separation begins between me and the creature, a separation which is sorrow for me and mournful for them. And I, Louisa, how can this be, since babies do not have reason and are not capable of deserving, this? And Jesus says, first, Jesus, gave merit to my grace. Second, because it is not out of their human will that they do not want to deserve this, but because such is the state of infancy disposed by me. Besides, a gardener who has planted a plant and is not only honored, but he also picks the fruit of it. And even though the plant does not have any reason, the same for an artisan who makes a statue and for many other things, sin alone is that which destroys everything and separates the creature from me. But everything else, Even the most trivial action comes to the creatures from me, and to me it must return with a mark of the honor of my creation. So God wants to see when we breathe in. See, God's breathing in our breathing. Breathe in, and then we breathe out. It's an I love you to us, and it's an I love you back to Him. He breathes in, I love you. We breathe out, I love you. Your heart blood goes in, I love you. The blood goes out, I love you. It's the competition with God. It's to compete with love. When you take a step, you don't walk with one leg. It's I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You need to run. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it's just, and that's what it's to be in this rhythm. The waves against the shore. It's an I love you, and then it's I love you, and it's I love you, and then it's I love you. When you're outside, the leaves fluttering, the dark side, the light side, the dark side, the light side. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Then you have the whole tree going. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And what we do is we participate in that love, and God has great plans for us. That's why with a child who sit put in front of a TV, it's the worst thing in the world for them. Why? Because it's not God. It's image, 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 and it scrambles the brain. This is why there's so many kids that have ADD and autism and all that stuff, because the brain's being scrambled. A child looks, when you put a child out in the outside and it looks at the leaves, it's fluttering. Maybe they might hear a dog barking. Maybe they might hear a bird chirping. But it's the same. But it's different. And it's beautiful. That's heaven. And what television has done is image, 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 sound, 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 image, image. It's just, the brain becomes scrambled. Like I said, Jesus said, tell television to no one. You know, television to, you know, He doesn't want us to watch TV. I mean, it's right in Scripture. Isn't that a good one? Television to no one. I think that was Bishop Sheen said that. So sin alone destroys everything. Okay, everything has to come back to God with honor. I mean, God gives us this blessing. We got to give that blessing back to God. Volume 11, August 14th, 1912. Now, one day, I, Louisa, was working, and I thought to myself, how is it that it's possible that Jesus works in me while I work? Does He really want to do this work? And Jesus says, yes, I do. I mean, He wants. He loves us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to dance in our dancing, sing in our singing. He wants to do everything with us. He loves us so much. My fingers are in yours, Louisa, and they work. My daughter, Louisa, when I, Jesus, was on earth, didn't my hands lower themselves to the work of wood and hammer and nails, help my foster father, Joseph, in smithing work? While I was doing that with those very hands and with those fingers, I, Jesus, created souls and called other souls to other life. I, Jesus, divinized all my actions. I, Jesus, sanctified them and giving the divine merit to each one of them. In the movements of my finger, I, Jesus, called the sequence of the movements of your fingers and to those of others. And if I, Jesus, saw that they were doing them for me or because I, Jesus, wanted to act within them, I, Jesus, continued my life of Nazareth in them, you know, at that time. And I, Jesus, felt cheered by them for the sacrifices and the humiliations of my hidden life, giving them the merits of my own life. So here, God wants to live. He's a God of the living, not of the dead, Jesus says. And so he wants us to be His skin. When Scripture says you put on Jesus, put on the life of Christ, you know, you have to really think of putting on a pair of gloves. You know, Jesus, you reign in me. That's how much God loves us. He wants us to share in His divinity. The priest puts that in a drop of water every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled Himself to share in our humanity. God wants to live in us. We have to let God alive. We have to let Him see and gaze in our gazing, hear in our hearing. We want Jesus to reign. So He says, my daughter Louisa, the hidden life that I, Jesus, conducted in Nazareth is not taken into account by men, when in fact, after the fashion, nothing could benefit them more. by lowering myself to all those little actions and those acts which men exercise during their daily life, such as eating, sleeping, drinking, working, starting the fire, sweeping, etc., all the acts which no one can do without, I, Jesus, made flow within inside their souls a tiny divine coin of incalculable price. Therefore, if my passion redeemed them, my hidden life provides each human action, even the most insignificant one, with divine merit and with infinite value. So when you blink, there's an infinite value to that. Jesus, come blink in my blinking. See, well, one of the things that's wonderful about the divine will is you begin to think of things that you've never thought of before. Okay, what can Jesus do today that I didn't ever let him do before? I mentioned to you before the first time I let Jesus hear in my hearing. We were listening to music while we were driving. And it was the greatest time I ever had. Jesus was so happy that I was allowing him to hear in my hearing for the first time. And he wants to do everything with us. He is so in love with us that he never wants to be separated from us. So everything becomes holy. Everything becomes divinized. That's how much our God loves us. So don't limit God. Oh, God doesn't want me to eat peas and string beans today. No, he wants to taste them. He wants to taste them in your tasting. Lord, let's have a great time. Let's have a bologna sandwich today. Well, let's eat a bowl of ice cream today, Lord. See, the saints, what they would do is they would say, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to only have water for 40 days. And again, that's nice and holy and saintly. But Jesus says, let's eat together. Let me eat and you're eating. Great. What do you want? How about a beer and pretzels? That sounds wonderful, Lord. Let's have beer and pretzels. I mean, it's what you're doing. That's why I'm saying have fun with God. Let the Lord show you. I remember one time when he asked me to give up. I loved nectarines. I gave up nectarines. And I said, well, what it's going to take its place? And he goes, cantaloupe. Cantaloupe? I don't like cantaloupe. So we had cantaloupe, and it's been really delicious ever since. So what God does is he loves to have fun. I mean, he sees everything. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to do. And what he wants is he wants to make that a blessing. So what happens is everything that you think, everything that you do, everything with God becomes holy. Becomes divinized. You're never... See, Jesus says, what you see in the Blessed Sacrament, when you're adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, adoring him, worshiping him, he says, I want that with you all the time. I don't just don't want you to do that when you're in front of me. I want you to do that when you're with me. So you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness, as long as you don't do your human will. Human will is misery. So what he's asking of us to do is to get rid of that human. Use your free will to choose. I don't want the human will. I want God's holy divine will. So he says. He says the hidden life provided for each human action, even the most insignificant one, with a divine merit with an infinite value. Do you see, Louisa? As you work, working because I, Jesus, want to work. My fingers flow within your fingers. And I work in you, Louisa, with my creative hands. And in the very instant, how am I, Jesus, giving to the light of this world? How many others am I calling? How many others do I sanctify, correct, chastise, etc.? Now, you, Louisa, are with me creating. This is the image and likeness of God. You are with me creating. You're with me calling. You're with me correcting and so forth. Therefore, just as you are not alone, neither am I, Jesus, alone in my work. I'm one with you, Jesus says. Could I ever give you greater honor? See, that's why, like, the Vatican is looking at this going, we know about the image of God, but you're talking about the likeness of God, to do what God does. That's why I can't wait until the theologians start talking about this. I can't wait. It's going to be so beautiful what happens. how glorious this is going to be. Volume 11, November 13, 1915. After I received Holy Communion, I thought to myself, how should I offer it in order to please Jesus? See what she's doing? She always wants to please Jesus. Okay? And that's why we want to be with Louisa. She's always thinking of Jesus. And as we read this, we will also always think of Jesus. And always kind, Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, if you, Louisa, want to please me, offer your Holy Communion as my own holy humanity did. Before giving Holy Communion to others, I, Jesus, gave communion to myself. I, Jesus, wanted to do this in order to give to the Father the complete glory of all the communions of all creatures, to enclose within me all the reparations for all the sacrileges, for all the offenses that my holy humanity would receive in this sacrament. And since I, Jesus, enclose the divine will, I, Jesus, enclose all the reparations of all times, and since I, Jesus, receive myself, I, Jesus, receive myself worthily. Okay, so here, this is what's so great about receiving Holy Communion. Because you do it one with Jesus as Jesus did it. Okay, and for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. Okay, every soul that never received Jesus, every soul that received him sacrilegiously, every soul that received him indifferently. So that's why after Holy Communion, you're absorbed in prayer, because you're adoring God for every human being that ever lived. Whether they knew Jesus or didn't, whether they received Jesus or, you know, physically or not, you're doing it for them. And Jesus is looking at all humanity as all of humanity receiving Holy Communion worthily linked to Jesus through you. What a blessing. So if you're worried about your family, give your worry to God. Worry is not part of our life. You say to Jesus, I receive Holy Communion in the name of everybody, not only my family, but everyone, past, present, and future. Now what happens there is God says, hey, you're doing this for me, I'm going to do what you want. That's what he said to Louisa. You do what I want, I'll do what you want. So how great this is. You worried about your family? Don't worry about them. You know? If they need a kick in the pants, they're going to get a kick in the pants. But God's going to take care of them if you obey what God is asking you to do. But if you're worried, again, you're taking control. God, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. I want to receive in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, to give you, God, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that you, God, rightly deserve from all humanity, past, present, and future. Why? Because I receive it one with you as you received it. Link to Louisa. I mean, it transforms the face of the earth. Jesus says, and since all the works of the creatures were divinized by my holy humanity, I, God, wanted to seal the communions of all the creatures with my holy communion, giving myself communion. This is just spectacular. There's nothing to worry about. God has done everything. And now what he's asking us is to be in his image and likeness and to do what God does. And again, there's no reason to worry. Jesus says, otherwise, how could the creature receive a God if I didn't do it first? It was my holy humanity that opened the door to all souls, giving them the merit to receive me. God is expecting more from us than the saints. He is expecting us to not only do the will of God, which you learn from volume 1 through volume 10, but to live in the will of God, which you receive from volume 11 to volume 19, and then to possess the divine inheritance of the Father, which you get from volume 20 through volume 36. This is, wow. What the Lord is asking of us is astonishing. So you, my daughter Louisa, you do it in my most holy divine will, united to my most holy humanity. In this way, you, Louisa, you will enclose everything and everyone. And I, Jesus, will find in you, Louisa, the reparation of everyone, rewarding the reward for everything and my sanctification, satisfaction for everything that you do. Even more, I, Jesus, will find in you, Louisa, another me, likeness of Jesus, doing what God does. Do you see why the Vatican is just like, they want to bring this out, but what do they do? I mean, people don't like Our Lady being the co-redemptrix. Jesus says, Louisa, you are my redemptrix of my fiat. You are the redemptrix of sanctification. What does that mean? Without you, Louisa, there is no sanctification. The spirit that I'm going to breathe on the people is your spirit, Louisa. This is what's coming is the renovation of the face of the earth. How? Through a human. Jesus, not the Son of God, not the Mother of God. They came to redeem us. God, Lady, co-redeemed. But it has to go back to Adam, a human. Adam was supposed to do this. Adam lost it. Jesus and Mary come, redeem us. Why? To give it to a human again. And what does Jesus say in volume 15? He says to Louisa, I give this to you so that you will give it back to the man, the Pope, the one with the keys. He will open the door with what I give to you, Louisa. And there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will receive the universal life again, the Catholic life. This is what's coming. We're very close to universal restoration. Now, that would be a bad name for a band, wouldn't it? Universal restoration. See, I was in the spontaneous innovation, but I just only played the lights. But the universal restoration, can you imagine? That would be a great band. Volume 11, December 10th, 1915. My daughter Louisa, courage. Okay, again, we must be courageous. We have to have the courage of Joan of Arc. We have to have that courage. What's coming? We have to hear God and then fight for Him. Joan of Arc never killed anybody. You know, she was killed, but she never killed anybody. But she marched into battle with a sword. You know, and again, the same thing for us. We have to march into battle for the glory of God. Jesus and Mary, and now it's through Louisa. Her banner was, Joan of Arc's banner was Jesus and Mary. Ours is Jesus and Mary through Louisa. And what we have to have was we have to have the courage of Joan of Arc. Because nobody's going to believe us. Nobody's going to believe this. Do you think your family's going to believe this? Do you think your priests are going to believe this? Nobody's going to believe this. Nobody wants to believe this. Why? Because they've already limited God. God can't do that. We already have John of the Cross. We already have Teresa of Avila. We already have the mystics of the church. We don't need this. God says, fine. I'll find somebody that wants it. Like Joan of Arc. Nobody believed her. Okay? And so what we are called to do is to live this. I mean, in your room, as you do your acts, it's not to stand on the street corner and go, you got to read this. You got to read this. Because they're going to go, first of all, you're out of your mind. But what you do is you read this in your room. You close the door. You go to your tent. And you pray this. And as you pray this, somebody in India begins to live in the divine will. Somebody in Asia begins to live in the divine. Somebody in Africa begins to live in the divine will. How? God's doing it. I remember the first 3 years when we were working to promote Louisa. Archbishop Cassati said to us, you've done this in a human manner. He says, this has to be done in a divine manner. We go, what is it? What is a divine manner? It's not conferences. It's not this. This is meaningless. What is important is that you go home and you read this. You go home and you live this. It's because otherwise it's just a game. If you aren't becoming perfect, if you're not being peaceful, joyful, and happy, if you're not becoming a true son and daughter of God, the divine will is not working in you. It's a game. You have to live this. This is what God wants for us is His life in us. So that when you go out and you touch someone, they are healed because Jesus is there. It's not you. You're nothing. You see, God wants to transform the face of the earth. He wants this to happen. But He can't do it if we're not being warriors for Christ. He can't do it. I mean, I don't want to kill anybody. But I have to be a warrior. I have to fight for the glory of God. Who do I fight first? It's me. To conquer my humanness. Again, to really believe. This is what Jesus says. I believe it. I'm going to be faithful to it no matter what. And if that's not there, again, the divine will is a nice idea, but it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't change you. See, Jesus says, I want to transmute you. Completely inside and out, a new creature. My daughter, Louisa, courage. I, Jesus, will not leave you. I am inside of you. Now, again, that's for us. Where's Jesus in Louisa? Although you, Louisa, do not always see me, and you, Louisa, unite yourself always with me, if you, Louisa, pray, may your prayers flow in mine. Okay, come, divine will, come pray in my praying. Make it your own. In this way, you, Louisa, too, will do all that I, Jesus, did with my prayers. The glory I, Jesus, gave to the Father. The good I, Jesus, pleaded for all. You, Louisa, will do it as well in the likeness of God. If you work, Louisa, make your work flow into mine and make it your own. Okay, come, divine will, come, we're working my working. If you, Louisa, will have in your power all the good that my holy humanity did, which sanctifies and divinized everything, and if you, Louisa, suffer, may your sufferings flow in mine, make it your own, so that you, Louisa, will have in your power all the good that I, Jesus, did in redemption. What did Jesus do in redemption? You know, it's from Isaiah. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed the lame. He proclaimed liberty to captives. I mean, this is Jesus. Remember who was it? Who's that Indian that was always fasting? India. Gandhi. Yeah, Gandhi says, I believe in Christ, but I don't believe in Christians because I see no other Jesus is around. I mean, what a terrible example we've been. Jesus says, I want to reign in you. I mean, that's what he's really saying that. He says, with this, you, Louisa, will take the three essential points of my life. And as you do so, immensities of graces will come out from you and pour out for the good of everyone. And I, Jesus, will look at your life, not as your own, but as mine. Okay, the three essential are image, likeness, intellect, memory, and will. The three, we will see things from Christ's point of view, understand things from Christ's point of view. We will live this life from God's perspective, not from our human limited understanding. See, we're going to be living, we've lived so far trying to become a saint, black and white and in two-dimensional. We've done this really well. I know the light. I know the prayers of the saints. I got a lot of relics. I'm really praying. I'm doing my devotional life. God says, good, 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 good. Now, I want you to enter into the three-dimensional life of Technicolor. And I mean, if you want to get a glimpse of what that's going to be, it's the Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, color. God is going to teach us what red is in black and white. What we've seen in black and white. Now here's the color of red. Here's the color of blue. Here's the color of yellow. All of a sudden we're going to go, whoa, where did this come from? That's the divine life. And I'm just giving you a terrible analogy. What's coming is abundant life. That's the divine will. He wants us to possess this more than anything else. So he says, and I, Jesus, will look at your life not as your own, but as mine. Okay, so we got this last part here before we end for this session here. Volume 12, January 10th, 1921. My daughter Louisa, remember that years ago I, Jesus, asked you, Louisa, if you wanted to live in my most holy divine will. And that's what Jesus asks us. Do you want to live in my holy divine will, Jesus says. And our response must be immediately, yes, I want this. And since I, Jesus, wanted you, Louisa, in my most holy divine will, I, Jesus, wanted you, Louisa, to pronounce your yes, fiat, in my own holy will, own volition. This yes, this fiat, was bound to an eternal point and to a divine will which will never end. This yes, fiat, is in the center of my volition, surrounded by an infinite immensity. And if it tries to go out, it almost cannot find its way out. Therefore, at your little oppositions, at some discontent of yours, I, Jesus, laugh and I amuse myself because I, Jesus, see you, Louisa, like those people who are bound by their own human will in the depths of the sea and wanting to go out, they find nothing but water. And since they are bound in the depths of the sea, they feel the bother of wanting to get out in order to remain tranquil and happy. They plunge themselves even more into the depths of the sea. And in the same way, in seeing you, Louisa, perplexed as though wanting to go out, and in seeing that you are unable to do it, being bound by your own yes, fiat, you, Louisa, plunge yourself even more into the depths of my most holy divine will. And I, Jesus, laugh. And I, Jesus, amuse myself. So here, once you say yes to God, once you give that fiat, God says, you're mine. You can't leave. Even though you try to leave, you can't. Now, that's what's so great about this. Once you say yes to God, you're His. And you can fight God as long as you want, and all you're going to do is just sink deeper and deeper into His will. Why? Because this is the most beautiful thing you could ever accomplish, ever participate in. So all God needs is your fiat, your yes, let it be done to me as you say. And that's what we do. We pray that consecration prayer. Why? We want this gift. We want what God wants for us more than anything else. And that's why he says he laughs at us when we say, I want to do my human will. He goes, you're not going to get out of this. If you're with Louisa, you're not going to get out of this. And then do you think it is something trivial and easy to move from within my most holy divine will? You, Louisa, will move in an eternal point. And if you, Louisa, know what it means to move an eternal point, you, Louisa, would tremble with fright. Again, that goes back to the illumination of conscience. When we see how holy God is and what God is calling us to, it's going to be terrifying. It's going to be terrifying. What's coming is going to be terrifying. I hate to say that, but it's going to be terrifying. Why? Because God is so holy. And he's going to ask us, I want you to participate in divinity. And we're going to say, I'm only human. There's no way I can do this. God says, that's right. There's no way. But I'm calling you to this. So, again, that's why there's only going to, that's why the large majority of humanity will be gone. They can't, Jesus says, they have said no to divine life. Now, God has given us an opportunity to say yes. And as we struggle in knowing the divine will, learning the divine will, our lives become more and more peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy, and happy. Your worry, your fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity goes. It's gone. It can't be part of your life. And if it's there, God's going to, it's going to be ripped out of us. And you don't want any part of that being ripped out of you. It'll be worse than being deboweled. It is really, it's going to be very painful. So he's asking us, pleading with us, come to me through Louisa and I will take care of everything. And then Jesus added, I, Jesus, ask the first fiat in my fiat, yes, from my dear mother Mary. And oh, the power of her fiat in my most holy divine will. And as soon as the divine will, the divine fiat, met with the fiat of my mama Mary, the two became one. My fiat raised her, divinized her, overshadowed her with no human intervention. Conceived me, the Son of God, only in my fiat could Mary conceive me. My fiat communicated to her immensity, to her infinity, to her fecundity, and in a divine manner, and therefore the immense, eternal, infinite one could be conceived in the Blessed Mother. As soon as Mary said, fiat mihi, not only did she take possession of me, but she overshadowed all souls and all created things, you know, because she's the queen. And she felt within herself the life of all souls. And at that moment, Our Lady began to act as the mother and queen of all. How many portents does this fiat of my mother Mary not contain? And if I, God, wanted to tell them all, you, Louisa, would never stop listening. Now, I, Jesus, ask for a second fiat, yes, in my most holy divine will, and that is of you, Louisa. And you, Louisa, though trembling, pronounce it. Yes, this fiat in my volition will accomplish its portents. It will make its divine, it will have its divine fulfillment. This is what's great. The divine fulfillment. You, Louisa, follow me. Plunge yourself more deeply into the immense ocean of my most holy divine will, and I, Jesus, will take care of everything. My sweet Mother Mary did not think about how I, Jesus, would manage to incarnate myself in her. She just said, fiat mihi, and I, Jesus, took care of how to be incarnated. And so you, Louisa, will do the same. See, all that Jesus says is say fiat, and I'll take care of everything else. That's the divine will, fiat. So, like when something happens, fiat. Something goes wrong, fiat. The more we live in that fiat, the happier we will be. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.